The following podcast is brought to you by The Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
So, good evening, everyone. It's really lovely and heartwarming to see all of your faces and all of the boxes. Thank you so much for being here. So, my name is Jisei, and I'm speaking to you from Pawling, New York, this evening. And surprisingly, after an incredibly windy, howling day, it's kind of quiet out there right now. The bare limbs of the trees are kind of still. So it's Earth Day, and I've been thinking about, at this time of spring, I've been thinking about the turning of the seasons. So I thought I would begin with reading from the Bible, a few lines, Ecclesiastes 3. To everything there is a season, and a time for every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain that which is to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time of love and a time of hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Pete Seeger, the folk singer, made a song from these lines in the Bible. And he added, turn, turn, turn at the end of each line. So, just the first line again, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Turn, turn, turn. So spring is here, well underway, a turning, time of transition. Shoots are poking, pushing their way through the earth. Crocuses are already gone. Yellow daffodils in full bloom, buds forming, leaves unfurling, colors changing. Being in nature, we feel life's energy in our bodies, the earth coming to life after the cold, barren, dormant, beautiful landscape of winter. Fall, winter, spring, summer, fall, turning, cycling, seasons. The seasons and their mystery. When does fall become winter? And at what moment does winter become spring? And on, birth and death, processes moving, flowing, underground, beneath the earth, and above in all seasons. When can we say that one thing or process ends and another begins? No birth and no death. How can you say one or the other? And so with our lives and processes, practice, time beings, being time, intertwined, inner being, seasons flowing, continuous. In this time of spring renewal, why do I feel so heavy? Ryoshin, in his recent talk, my words as I remember his, said that there is no end to suffering. The way is through. Staying present to our difficulties, doing our best on the ground in our ordinary lives. So Soten said in his talk this past Tuesday that he was feeling anxious, unsettled, and fearful at this time as we are loosening the COVID restrictions and beginning to open up and engage more. He cited the uncertainty he's feeling. He spoke of maintaining stability through holding ourselves in awareness. We can be ourselves a holding vessel for all the emotions and thoughts that come up. And that's our practice, moment by moment. Ugetsu spoke this morning about the immense suffering in the world, and she encouraged us to be kind, not needing to be right, bearing witness to all of the suffering. So this time now feels very challenging to me. You know, there was dancing in the streets and expressions of relief and joy when justice was served in the guilty verdict handed to Derek Chauvin in the George Floyd case. But the overall feeling to me now seems sober and heavy. And I think it does to many people as centuries of racism and inequity are coming to light. And there's a need to change, and we must change. And how we're gonna make that change, just if we think about it in too big of a way, feels daunting. We need to take step by steps. And I think we're all hopeful. So I have come to think of the spiritual life path practice as a spiral, or perhaps a Philip Glass composition, a turning, repeating phrase, meeting something again and again, something old in a new way with each turn or movement, evolving. Difficulty, investigation, insight, release, expansion, another difficulty, seasons in our life, in our being, and together. Some of us, maybe many of us today, have come to see and appreciate that difficult emotions present an opportunity, a gateway to learn and grow. To study Zen is to study the self. We have an opportunity to see how we experience ourselves as a constructed solid identity, what we are attached to, the habits and requirements that maintain who we think we are, and a lifestyle that maintains the identity we cling to. So we practice in all weathers. And when the shit hits the fan, we hopefully will have built up a stronger spine, an inner stability that can respond in a thoughtful way instead of going off the rails into reactivity and unskillful actions. But even so, a strong wave perhaps tsunami might threaten every kalpa or so. And deep inside us, some aspect of ourselves, hidden, not allowed, quivers and begins to quake, and we feel threatened, unsafe, insecure. So recently, my fight and flight response was activated big time. A few weeks ago, I felt very frightened and insecure. Yeah, and there were circumstances, there were changes happening in my life that felt really scary. And I got way ahead of myself, down a rabbit hole of thoughts and projections, and my fear lasted over a number of days. The intensity varied with physical symptoms, constriction, burning in my throat and chest. So this is the fight and flight response of modern stress. When we hold fear and insecurity for extended periods, not the fight and flight that our ancestors faced when there was an immediate danger they were faced with, a mountain lion stalking them, or a lion, tiger, right, appearing out of the bush. So I thought about what would be helpful. You know, and I think they're all the obvious things, you know, wonderful things, Zazen, Sangha, meeting with teachers, listening to talks, reading spiritual fare. And we all have our individual things we do to help ourselves. You know, for me, walking outside and hiking is in nature, turning my face towards the sun and feeling its warmth. I started practicing reciting a metta prayer throughout the day. And I reread Shunryu Suzuki's Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. His basic instructions, so simple and clear. The two most important things in our practice, he wrote, are our physical posture and our way of breathing. Spine straight, sitting straight up, hands in the cosmic mudra, resting on our lap. To take this posture is itself to have the right state of mind. Breathing. The air comes in and goes out like a swinging door. All that exists is the movement of your breathing. Just follow the movement of your breathing. And something else that he wrote that really stood up out for me was, he said, if you do not lose yourself, then even though you have difficulty, there is actually no problem. You just sit in the midst of the problem. When you are a part of the problem, or when the problem is a part of you, there is no problem. Because you are the problem itself, the problem is you. If this is so, there is no problem. To solve the problem is to be a part of it, to be one with it. So it was medicine, you know, reading and encouraging myself for my trouble and my troubled and agitated state. So now I want to turn to a case, case 55 in the Blue Cliff Record, Dao Wu's condolence call. Is a beautiful case, and it speaks to what I'm talking about, and I turn to it for encouragement and to learn. So I'll read it now. Dao Wu and Xian Yuan went to a house to make a condolence call. Wan hit the coffin and said, "Alive or dead?" Wu said, "I won't say alive and I won't say dead." Wan said, "Why won't you say?" Wu said, "I won't say." Halfway back, as they were returning, Yuan said, "Tell me right away, teacher. If you don't tell me, I'll hit you." Wu said, "You may hit me, but I won't say." Yuan then hit him. Later, Dao Wu passed on. Yuan went to Shi Shuang and brought up the foregoing story. Shuang said, "I won't say alive and I won't say dead." Yuan said, "Why won't you say?" Shuang said, "I won't say, I won't say." At these words, Yuan had an insight. One day, Yuan took a hoe into the teaching hall and crossed back and forth from east to west and west to east. Shuang said, "What are you doing?" Yuan said, "I'm looking for relics of our late master." Shuang said, "Vast waves spread far and wide. Foaming billows flood the skies. What relics of our late master are you looking for?" Sui Tu added a comment saying, "Heavens, heavens." Yuan said, "This is just where I should apply effort." And Fu of Tan Yuan said, "The late master's relics are still present." So Dao Wu was a Chinese master and Qian Wan his student. They were making a condolence call. Someone in the community near the monastery had died. As monastics, Dao Wu and Yuan would have come to the house to support the family, perform a ceremony for the dead, and offer blessings. That was the custom. The coffin back then would have been open. Okay, so Yuan, "Alive or dead?" Wu, "I won't say alive, I won't say dead." "Why won't you say?" "I won't say, I won't say." "Tell me right away, teacher. If you don't, I will hit you." "You may hit me, but I won't say." Yuan then hit him. Yuan knows that the person in the coffin is dead. So his question is different. Dao Wu knows that the question is larger, that Yuan's question is existential, about life and death and permanence. Is there an afterlife? How do I live my life with meaning? Who am I? How do I become me? How do I attain peace and happiness? How do I stop this suffering? Find my ground in all this mud and muck of uncertainty? How do I become a better person, a bodhisattva? Teacher, help me. Tell me. Resolve this for me, alive or dead. Dao Wu, "I won't say. I won't say." Wan threatens. He's violent. "No, no, no," You must help me. If you don't answer, I will hit you. Dao Wu is quite extraordinary, his compassion and kindness. He understands that Yuan is asking what Yuan is asking and feeling underneath the threats and anger, embodying the energy of the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara. Dao Wu hears Yuan's cry, and he bears witness to his fear and insecurity and responds, "You can hit me, I won't say." Dao Wu offers what Yuan needs to hear. The "I won't say." Yuan doesn't get it, but the words will haunt him and initiate a process, his inner search for his true self that he thinks is outside of himself, something to get that he doesn't have. Dao Wu didn't pull away, didn't separate from Yuan. Imagine being threatened and physically struck like that, and by a student. We sense in Dao Wu no grasping ego, no identity to protect. I imagine Dao Wu's compassion and love coming out of a deep love and humanity, his experience of suffering in his own life. It is our own lives and through our own struggles that we wake up to the life of all. Dao Wu, I won't say, I won't split what is whole into pieces. The essence is beyond words and the discriminating mind. Life and death are not two, not one. Dao Wu's love and Bodhisattva vow right there for us to see in I Won't Say. Shinryu Suzuki wrote, "Life and death are the same thing." How do we open, come alive to a larger life, expand our view, really come alive? Dao Wu knows that he cannot do this for Yuan. No one can show us the way. We have to investigate for ourselves this great matter of life and death, impermanence and suffering in our own everyday lives. The Buddha said, "Don't take my word. Through your own experience, come to know what is true for you." So I read in one account that Dao Wu was around 66 years old and around 28 at the time of the first episode. The story goes that Dao Wu told Yuan that he had to leave the monastery for his own safety, that the other monks in the monastery would be horrified at his behavior and might do him harm. So Yuan left. The second episode occurred when Yuan was around 61, when he went to see another teacher, Shuang. So this meeting took place 33 years later. Yuan recounted the earlier story. And we have to wonder if Yuan's question is the same or different this time. Something has changed. Alive or dead? Shuan replies, "I won't say alive and I won't say dead." "Why won't you say?" "I won't say, I won't say." And at these words, Yuan had an insight. His heart opened, softened. There was connection, teacher and a student meeting. So what was Yuan asking this time? One possibility, where is Dao Wu? Is he dead or alive? How can I find him? How can I access him? I'm going to jump to the third episode because I see the time is winding down. So later, Yuen took a hole into the teaching hall and crossed back and forth from east to west and west to east. Xuan said, "What are you doing?" Yuen said, "I'm looking for relics of our late master." Xuan said, "Vast waves spread far and wide, foaming billows flood the skies. What relics are you looking for?" Juan said, "This is just where I should apply effort." Something has again changed. This time, Yuen is in the teaching hall searching for Dao Wu, looking for his old master's relics. Dao Wu's words, his teachings, his spirit, his energy. Perhaps Yuen is turning the ground of his practice in the relative world of the everyday. Perhaps he's still looking outside of himself, separating, "I'm here, where is Dao Wu?" Xuan remains close to Yuen with his questions and points to what is larger and all-encompassing: the earth and sky, the vast ocean. In my recent experience with difficulty, really just holding my tension and my fear and my insecurity allowed something to open up, to change. To find a resolution to my circumstances within myself, even though there still are no resolutions with the particular circumstances that have cropped up. So I think a continuous path was set out by Dao Wu and Xuang, which opened a continuous path for Yuen. The teacher's wisdom and compassion allowed Yuen to question and search and be in an evolving and maturing process. And I think this case points to everything, to including everything, and recognizing that we have everything, the whole universe in us. And the case points to allowing ourselves to be fully human and to recognize all the positive and negatives. We need to see and own all that's in us, positive and negative. The greed and anger and ignorance are in us too. And when we say, "I am not that, I am only good," then we will act out of what we suppress and what we don't allow. Then anger and ignorance and greed will have their day. When we're present and aware, we're able to choose how to skillfully act and respond, how to be kind and serve the whole. So the main thing is how we act. And I will end now with a metta prayer. So may I be happy with myself as I am. May I be at peace with the way things are. May I be loving. May I be safe. May I be free. May I realize the wisdom of this moment, be fully present so that I can skillfully serve all beings. May all beings be happy with themselves May all beings be at peace with the way things are. May all beings be loving. May all beings be safe. May all beings be free. May all beings realize the wisdom of this moment, be fully present so that we can skillfully serve all beings.